Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us. This time, we're going to be taking a look at India's environmental journey since the year 2000.
Yeah.
It's a story of
Again.
Incredible growth,
Yeah.
but also some pretty pressing challenges and some really inspiring efforts towards sustainability.
Definitely.
And we've got a really fascinating mix of sources for this one.
Mm-hmm.
We've got historical records, we've got scientific studies, we've got even some insights from
ancient Indian philosophy.
Yeah, ancient Indian philosophy. So
it's a remarkable case study, really.
Right.
India's experience offers a glimpse into just how complicated it is for a lot of developing nations trying to balance, their economic progress with protecting the environment.
Right. And, you think about India and you think about those iconic images.
Yeah.
Bustling cities, vast agricultural lands, the majestic Himalayas, you've got the sacred Ganges. These all reflect not just the country's natural beauty, but also, the environmental pressures that it's facing.
Yeah.
So let's start by just kind of painting a picture of India's environmental landscape in the 21st century.
So if you can imagine the scale of change over the past few decades, India has just witnessed this incredible surge in industrialization and urbanization.
Yeah.
This has undoubtedly fueled economic progress,
right?
But it's also put a lot of pressure on their natural resources.
Of course.
Especially when you talk about air and water quality.
Yeah. And that's what we hear about a lot, right? We hear about the pollution crisis.
Exactly.
In India's major cities. What are some of the key factors that are driving that?
Well, it's a lot of different factors that all kind of work together.
Yeah.
So you've got rapid industrial expansion. You've got a huge surge in how many people own vehicles.
Okay.
And you even have traditional practices like crop burning that all contribute to this problem.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Delhi, which is one of the most populous cities in the world, frequently has these hazardous levels of air pollution, particularly during the winter.
It's a good reminder that, the consequences are very real world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So beyond the urban centers, what about the health of India's rivers? We've got the Ganges, we've got the Indus, the Brahmaputra.
Right.
And, countless other waterways that are, so vital to life there.
You're totally right.
Yeah.
These rivers are like lifelines for people,
yeah.
but they're also facing immense pressure.
Right.
Take the Ganges, for example. Yeah. It's super spiritually significant for millions of Indians, yet it's struggling with this severe pollution from industrial waste and sewage and even religious offerings.
Wow. And then there's also the Kosi River, which is often called the Sorrow of Bihar because of its flooding.
Yeah.
Why is the Kosi so prone to flooding?
Well, it's a really fascinating geological story, actually.
Huh?
The Kosi is what's called an antecedent river.
Okay.
Meaning that it existed before the Himalayas were even formed. And as the mountains rose over millions of years, the Kosi cut right through them.
Wow.
So it created these incredibly deep gorges.
Yeah.
This geography makes it really susceptible to flash floods, especially when you have monsoon season.
That's amazing how, these ancient geological processes are still shaping the environmental challenges of today.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of which, deforestation is another major issue.
Of course, yeah.
What are some of the main things that are driving this loss of forest cover in India?
Well, it's largely driven by population growth and the need for more agricultural land.
Yeah.
So as the demand for land goes up, forests are being cleared for farming, for grazing, and for urban development.
Right.
And this leads to soil erosion, loss of biodiversity.
Yeah.
And it makes the forests less able to absorb carbon dioxide.
Right.
Which further makes climate change worse.
And that brings us to climate change, which is kind of, looming over all of this.
Absolutely.
How is India being impacted by, this global phenomena?
Well, India is incredibly vulnerable to climate change.
Okay.
You've got rising sea levels that threaten coastal communities.
Right.
And you have these changing monsoon patterns that can cause more droughts and floods.
Yeah.
For instance, the early 20th century saw some really devastating droughts in India.
Wow.
That led to huge famine.
Wow.
Which really highlights how sensitive the country is to these changes in weather patterns.
And then we also have those Western disturbances that we hear about. What role did those play?
Ah, yeah. So Western disturbances are these weather systems that actually originate over in the Mediterranean region.
Oh, wow.
And they bring really crucial winter rainfall to parts of India.
Okay.
They're a really cool example of how interconnected our planet's climate systems really are.
Yeah, it sounds like India is facing this, this really complex web of environmental challenges.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it's not all doom and gloom, right?
No, not at all.
I'm sure there are efforts underway to address these issues.
Absolutely.
So in the next part, let's explore what's being done to, you know, mitigate these challenges.
Okay.
And move towards a more sustainable future for India.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. India is definitely tackling these environmental challenges head on.
Yeah.
So let's start by looking at some of the government initiatives.
Okay, great. What kind of policies and programs have they put in place to address these issues?
Well, they've introduced a whole bunch of measures,
okay,
including these stricter pollution control regulations for industries and vehicles.
Okay.
And they've also invested a lot in renewable energy sources,
okay,
like solar and wind power.
Right, because that seems like it would be pretty crucial to, you know, shifting towards cleaner energy.
Absolutely.
What about tackling deforestation?
Right. So for deforestation, they've started these really ambitious afforestation programs,
okay,
which aim to, like, restore those degraded forests and increase the tree cover.
Okay.
And then there's also the National Action Plan on Climate Change, which is a comprehensive strategy to mitigate and adapt to the impacts of climate change.
Can you tell me a bit more about that? Like, what are the specific goals of this action plan?
Sure. So it really focuses on a few key areas.
Okay.
It promotes energy efficiency, developing those renewable energy sources we talked about,
right,
sustainable agriculture, and protecting vulnerable ecosystems.
Okay.
A key aim is to reduce India's emissions intensity.
Okay.
Which is like the ratio of emissions to economic output.
Gotcha.
They want to reduce that significantly by 2030.
That makes sense. It sounds like a very comprehensive plan.
It is.
But I imagine implementation can be pretty challenging, just given India's size and diversity.
Yeah. Enforcing regulations across such a massive and diverse country,
right,
with all those different levels of development is a huge task.
Yeah.
And then you also have to make sure these policies actually benefit all parts of society.
Right. It's like a giant puzzle with all these interconnected pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
So beyond what the government's doing, what about grassroots movements?
Oh, yeah.
India has a pretty rich history of citizen activism, right?
Absolutely. India's environmental movements are incredibly vibrant and impactful. Like,
yeah,
take the Chipko movement, for example.
Right.
Back in the 1970s,
yeah,
you had these rural villagers, mostly women,
okay,
who would literally hug trees to, yeah, stop them from being cut down.
Wow.
It was a really powerful display of nonviolent resistance.
Yeah, that's a powerful image for sure.
Yeah.
Are there any other examples of, you know, similar movements that have had that kind of impact?
Yeah, definitely. You've got the Narmada Bachao Andolan.
Okay.
Which was a movement against building the Sarovar Dam.
Okay.
And that one really brought to light the social and environmental costs of these big development projects.
Mm-hmm.
It sparked these really important discussions about sustainable development.
Okay.
And the rights of communities that were being displaced.
It's really inspiring to see citizens, you know, being so proactive about environmental protection.
Yeah, it really is.
And it seems like these movements have a really important role to play.
Absolutely.
You know, like raising awareness, mobilizing communities, holding authorities accountable.
Exactly.
So we're seeing this interesting interplay between, you know, top-down government initiatives,
no,
and bottom-up grassroots activism.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note,
yeah,
that traditional knowledge systems play a role as well.
Oh, interesting. Okay, how so?
For instance, you have these traditional water harvesting techniques,
yeah,
that have been practiced for centuries in arid and semi-arid regions of India.
Right.
And those are now being revived and integrated with modern water management systems.
Oh, cool.
These methods are rooted in local knowledge,
yeah,
and adapted to those specific ecological conditions.
Right.
They offer sustainable solutions for water conservation.
Yeah, that's a great example of, you know, bridging that ancient wisdom with modern practices.
Exactly.
And this kind of brings us to the concept of Jugaad, this,
yeah,
uniquely Indian approach to innovation.
Right.
Can you explain a little bit more about how Jugaad plays a role in finding sustainable solutions?
Sure. So Jugaad is all about finding these creative and resourceful solutions.
Okay.
Often when you have limited resources.
Okay.
One example is developing those low-cost water filtration systems.
Right.
Using stuff that's readily available.
Okay.
Like clay pots and charcoal.
Oh, wow.
Which makes clean drinking water accessible to people in those rural areas.
It's amazing how that kind of, you know, resourcefulness is applied to those environmental challenges.
Yeah.
So alongside these amazing efforts, what would you say are some of the biggest hurdles that India faces?
Well, one of the biggest challenges,
yeah,
is finding that balance between economic growth and environmental protection.
Right.
with such a rapidly growing population and millions still living in poverty, there's a lot of pressure to put development first.
Right. It's a classic dilemma, right?
Like
meeting the needs of the present without compromising the future.
And then there's also the issue of unequal access to resources and opportunities.
Right.
So how do you bridge the gap between the haves and the have-nots?
Yeah.
How do you ensure that the benefits of sustainable development reach everyone?
Right. Because it really is this complex equation with, you know, economic, social, and environmental dimensions.
Absolutely.
So this kind of leads to a really big question, right? Can India, with its unique set of challenges and opportunities, really forge this path towards sustainable development that's both equitable and effective?
That's a question.
Yeah, and I guess in the final part, we'll explore some of those potential pathways.
Yeah, definitely.
And the lessons that India's experience can offer to the world.
Absolutely.
So we've really explored, you know, the complexities of these environmental challenges facing India. Huh. And some of the really innovative ways that they're working towards sustainability.
Yeah.
But what does this all mean for the rest of the world? Can other countries learn from India's experience?
Oh, absolutely. India's journey offers valuable insights for everyone, not just developing nations.
Okay.
You know, for the whole global community.
I'm really interested in that concept of Jugaad.
Yeah.
Can that resourceful approach be used in other places outside of India?
Definitely. Well, the word Jugaad comes from India.
Yeah.
The idea behind it, you know, finding innovative solutions even when you don't have a lot of resources.
Right.
That's something that can apply anywhere.
Right.
In a world where we have limited resources and are facing climate change.
Yeah.
That kind of creative problem solving is more important than ever.
It's almost like it's telling us that we need to be creative and find solutions that work within our limits.
Exactly.
Are there any other big lessons from India's experience that you think are relevant globally?
I think one of the most crucial lessons is the power of people getting involved.
Okay.
India's environmental movements show that regular people can make a difference. By raising awareness, bringing communities together, and holding those in power accountable, they've really pushed for stronger environmental policies and protections.
It reminds us that, you know, we're not just bystanders in all of this.
Yeah.
We can all do something to create a more sustainable future.
Exactly. And it's not just about activism. It's about creating this sense of shared responsibility for our planet.
Oh.
Whether it's reducing your own carbon footprint, conserving water, or advocating for sustainable practices in your own community, every action matters.
I'm also curious about the role of traditional knowledge systems.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on this a bit earlier, but can those ancient practices really offer solutions for today's problems?
Absolutely. Traditional ecological knowledge, which has been passed down for generations, often has amazing insights into how to live sustainably and manage resources. Like indigenous communities all over the world have developed practices for managing forests, saving water, and adapting to climate change.
Yeah.
These practices can inform our modern efforts towards sustainability.
It's almost like we're looking back to the past to find answers for the future.
Right.
It seems like India's experience really emphasizes how interconnected environmental, social, and economic issues are.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. True sustainability means taking a holistic approach.
Okay.
It's about addressing poverty, promoting education, and ensuring fair access to resources, all while protecting the environment.
So it's not just about saving the planet.
Right.
It's about creating a world that's more just and equitable for everyone.
Exactly.
As we wrap up this deep dive, what would you say is the most important message for our listeners to take away?
I think the main takeaway is to have hope and feel empowered.
Yeah.
India's story shows us that progress is possible, even with all the challenges they face.
Yeah.
By learning from their experiences, embracing new ideas, and working together, we can build a more sustainable future for ourselves and future generations.
That's a powerful message, reminding us that we all have a role to play in shaping that future. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into India's environmental journey. We hope you found it insightful and that it inspires you to keep exploring these important topics.